Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
The doctor is in the house, and it's a good thing. Dr. Thomas Moran is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. I've been sneezing, sniffling, coughing all weekend. Actually, started on Friday, I think. So, first question for you this morning, Doc. How do you know the difference between COVID, and I did take a COVID test, I'm negative, COVID, the flu, the common cold? What's the deal on that?
Good morning, Bob. Sorry you're feeling so sick today. That's a great question. I mean, COVID, flu, common cold, they're all viruses. COVID usually is more associated with fever, cough, shortness of breath that can come on, usually lose your taste and smell, little slower onset of symptoms that come on, and it can last anywhere from 1 to 2 weeks. The flu kind of can hit you fast. Within 12 to 24 hours, you go from feeling well to super sick. And really, very rarely do you lose taste and smell. Might last anywhere from 5 to 7 days. And the common cold is more runny nose, sore throat, slow onset, lasts a few days, rare to have any type of taste and smell loss or shortness of breath with it. There's a lot of overlapping symptoms that come with it. That's why it's good that you test, because there are some treatments for flu. Within the first 48 hours of being sick, you could take an antiviral medication for the flu. And same thing with COVID. There are medications to help. The common cold, it's more symptomatic treatment that you kind of manage it as you go through. One of the biggest things that we could do is wash our hands. And if you're feeling really bad, stay home and kind of prevent spreading it to others.
Yeah, other broadcasters would have called in sick. They would have been in traction for a week. Not me. I show up for work. I think it sounds like the common cold is what I've been dealing with here. Let's talk about this study just published about the warning signs of heart disease. This is pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a rather large study, 600,000 people in South Korea, 1,000 people in the U.S., looking at those that develop, you know, heart disease or stroke, and 99% of those people have risk factors that, when you really look at them, can have some type of management or what can we do to help prevent some of this. And those risk factors are elevated blood sugar, elevated blood pressure, elevated cholesterol, and stopping and not smoking to begin with. So when you really think of some of these things, we've talked about this many times in the past, is what can you do to control the onset or delaying any type of disease? And that's really manage your blood sugar and get it checked. Get a blood pressure cuff so you at least know what your blood pressure is. And if it is elevated, really speak to your doctor and get that managed. And the same thing with cholesterol, and then abstain from smoking overall. There's also a component of sleep habits and, you know, the way that you do sleep, because that can help contribute to it overall. But it comes down to check your blood pressure regularly, keep your weight down and exercise, don't smoke, and if you do smoke, stop smoking, and try and get a good night's sleep and can relieve as much as possible the stress in your life, because stress, depression, they are a potent risk factor too, very similar to smoking and diabetes at times.
They say that this study is particularly important because it does reinforce, I know, what you practice, that is managing risk factors for almost all cases of heart disease. That's possible, isn't it?
It is, and it just comes down to we always think of, well, if I get something, I could take a medication to help manage it. And when you really think about it, is you already have something. The way to prevent or have a healthier life in a longer health span, so you could do things as you get older, is you got to start managing it earlier in your life when you're young. This is a long range game that you're really playing, where you don't want to get to the point where you develop something. And the best way to prevent that is to start early on in life and have a good exercise routine, keep your weight down, don't smoke, limit the amount of alcohol you have, limit the stress in your life, and get some good sleep. And it does help contribute overall to decreasing your risk factors of developing chronic disease later.
So the risk factors haven't really changed that much, but the technology for managing them has evolved a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we have more capability of understanding where we stand with blood pressure, from Apple Watches to blood pressure cuffs. You can also manage your sugar and get a better understanding of that. But you're right. The basic kind of premise of what we're really trying to get into people is you control a lot of your health by managing those things outside of medicine, right? It is, how do I keep myself healthy instead of trying to fix myself once I become unhealthy? And that takes that's the long game. Mm-hmm. You have to get that in from when kids are little and really practice it as a young adult and then continue that on as you get older. And you'll have a much longer health span. Everyone thinks of living as long as possible, but you want to live as long as possible healthy to do activities that you love.
We'll talk about sleep and brain aging and also breast cancer and mammograms and why you should go out on your bicycle. It's Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Thomas Moran. It's our Monday morning health briefing. With us today, Dr. Thomas Moran, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Central DuPage Hospital. Let's talk about the research about women who miss their first screening appointment for breast cancer, Doctor.
Yeah, when we talk about breast cancer, really to put it into perspective, it's the second most common cancer in women in the U.S., second leading cause of death for women. In the U.S. in 2023, there were 279,000 new cases of breast cancer and 42,000 women died of it. One in 20 over the course of their lifetime will develop breast cancer. And what this study looked at is, it's a large study, 400,000 people, can track them over 25 years. And what it showed is those that missed their first screening usually didn't follow up with additional mammograms, and they had an increased risk of dying from breast cancer by 40%. Early screening really catches cancers early. And just to kind of look at some of the statistics, if you catch breast cancer early, you have a 5-year survival rate of about 99%. If it's already spread by the time you actually get that screening, your 5-year survival rate drops to 32%. So what you really look at with this is get screened. If you have risk factors, you know, immediate family, mom, or siblings with breast cancer, to really get in and talk to your doctor and get an early mammogram so you can track it. And then follow up with those. Mm-hmm. Those that really get the early screening done usually follow up with additional screenings and make sure they stay on top of it and they catch the cancer early. The study shows those that delayed the screening had more chance of having a breast cancer that's already spread. And also those that didn't get the first screening usually didn't get any screenings afterwards with that. So it's one of those maintenance things where you really think of screening helps. It helps detect cancer early on. Early cancer detection leads to better survival rates overall. So it's one of those things of get screened.
Message is very clear there. Take advantage of the nice weather and get on your bicycle. This is interesting. Cycling linked with a lower dementia risk. Tell us about this.
Yeah, it was a study in Great Britain. A lot of people involved, about 480,000 people, tracked them over 13 years and looked at if they cycled to work or rode their bikes on a regular basis. And what they found is that there was a decreased risk of developing dementia or Alzheimer's overall. They did find some links with a protein, genetic predisposition to get an Alzheimer's, that those people more than likely would develop it. But when you look at cycling or exercise in general, what they really found was that those that participated in a regular exercise routine, cycling does a lot of things for you. Get you outside. You're using multiple muscles, you're doing balance, and every time you exercise, it's good for your brain. You increase blood flow to your brain, which increases your metabolism. That changes your overall function of your brain and helps increase the ability of your brain to withstand insults to it. Mm. So when you think about it, it's like we said in the past, exercise on a regular routine as opposed to sedentary sitting or driving does better for you. Now, there's some instances where people have to drive, it's long distances, but with that, stick to the regular regimen of if you could get 150 minutes of moderate exercise a week or 75 minutes of vigorous exercise a week, you're doing your body good and you're doing your brain good.
Dr. Thomas Moran, Northwestern Medicine, always appreciate your information. And one more question about me. Chicken soup still recommended by physicians?
It's very good for you.
Okay. I know what I'm going to have for lunch today. Talk to you again soon. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care, Bob.
News on the Hour coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.